us. Let me just check the apologies first. Do you have any apologies?
Yes, Chairperson. We received apologies from Ms. Dikgale, from Mr. Sarupin, from Peters, Mr. Kwankwa, and Mr. Shekima.
Okay, thank you. We'll note those apologies. Good morning again, honorable members. Allow me to welcome the honorable minister, Minister Motshekga, Department of Basic Education, and team Department of Basic Education. Minister, you're welcome with the team. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Minister. As you know, today we are having a briefing from the Department of Basic Education. As COA on the second adjustment appropriation bill, but before that, let me start with what I consider to be even more important as we are meeting today, Minister. As I said, let me wish you well, and your department, and your grade 12 learners in particular, as they sit for their exams. We were very much aware that it was a very difficult year. They are writing under very difficult conditions, and the decision that you took to take back our children under very difficult conditions again, I think as was stated now in South Africa, is now agreeing that it was a right decision, whatever challenges were there. As we are sitting at our children, sitting and writing their final examinations. We also want, through you, Minister, to thank our educators for also continuing with what we consider to be a very important national duty to teach our children again, with all the risks which are there, but they've always continued to be in the forefront and ensuring that the national duty that South Africa has given to them is being continued, and that is of teaching our children. So as I said, wish them well. I think we're nearing the we are right in the middle of the examination, and I think as South Africans, we haven't heard of any major things which has happened untoward in those conditions. So Minister, as you know, that we invited you and the department to come and brief the committee on the second adjustment appropriation bill, B25-2020, as the money bills enjoins us, that we call those departments which are affected by these adjustments. We said very clearly in our letter what our expectations are from the department. Minister and your team, I think we'll give you 40 minutes, and let's see how far we go, and we'll take it from there. As the agenda says, that after you've made your presentation, we'll allow the oral members to interact with the presentation, and then after that, we'll also allow you and the department to come back and respond to some of the issues that will have been raised by the honorable members. Honorable Minister, we are all yours. Thank you very much as to how you juggle your team. I'm out of it. I'll only be talking to you after 40 minutes. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Chair, and thank you very much for the warm welcome. And indeed, we were faced with a very difficult decision and really appreciate your kind words. We still are in trouble. Even now, I'm tense. That the paper we're writing has it not lit, so there's just so many difficulties, but I think we'll soldier on and our kids will write and we'll overcome. Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity to come and present to you. I won't take time except to say I think both as a comrade and as a leader of mine, we're glad to have an opportunity to have a shoulder to cry on. We really are a very constrained sector. People just think that because we get about 240 billion of money, we just don't have money as a sector. Most of our money goes to salaries, and these adjustments find us when we really are on our knees, are not able to implement most of our programs. We have children that were supposed to be transporting, who deserve to be transported. We can't transport them, we don't have the money. So we really are in a highly constrained space, but this, yes, it may be, we also understand and appreciate that the country is in a very difficult position, which really makes our sustainable. But so let me not complain to you. Let me ask the DG to leave, but say it's extremely difficult for us as a sector. Provinces, every day when I meet them, say, what is National saying? Are they giving us more money? And knowing very well that we're taking more money, not giving more money. So I'll ask DG and his team, because we only have 40 minutes, DG, don't even go into introductions of who is here. Just get the 40 minutes. DG, Mshumayeli, Chair. So Texas Card, my presenter. So I'm going to have that presenter. If 40 minutes, I'm going to get paid. So DG, they'll see from the participant list who's here. I've already taken the 5 minutes, and you only have 35 minutes now in your team. So DG, can you lead? And I will also stand back. Thanks, Chair, and the team. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister. Indeed, Minister, I'll just hit the punchline. We've sent the presentation last week, Wednesday, in the morning. So I will just speak to the slides, not really go bullet by bullet. This is the presentation that we are making, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I hope it's very clear from your side. This is the presentation outline. As advised by the Minister, I will not go through this. This is the purpose of the presentation, and I hope it addresses what was communicated to us in the letter that the Honorable Chair indicated in the beginning. Just looking at the impact of the adjustment budget on delivery, we're starting with infrastructure. And we just, without going through every detail, we're indicating the impact of this, that from a target point of view, we had to reduce our targets from 31 to 21 projects of inappropriate structures in terms of water and sanitation from 125 to 100. Sanitation were reduced from 920 to 600. And we also, going down to provinces, we're indicating that from 1,938, we also had to stop and delay some of those projects, and some of which I think we'll reflect on later on. In terms of the conditional grants, especially the EIG, we also had to reduce 600 million, which we had to use for emergency water, and emergency water in particular, to respond to COVID-19. I must indicate that over 3,500 schools wouldn't have reopened schools on the 1st and the 8th of June this year, respectively, had we not provided them with water as a basic essential to operate under COVID-19. We also indicating that about 4 million was also allocated for COVID-19 expenditure related to PPEs, health sanitizers, screeners, disinfection of schools, et cetera, and et cetera. We also then indicate that the impact of this is that we will not be able to meet the requirements of the minimum uniform norms and standards for public schools. We also indicating that this will lead to a very slow progress in the implementation of projects, and some of it would even later on lead to escalation of costs. We also indicate that provinces had to delay appointments for new projects, and this also then led to slowing down progress on site. In terms of the Second Chance Metric Program, the Second Chance Metric Program is intended to reduce the number of young people who are not in education, in employment and training group, the NEET group that we talk about in South Africa. Some people call them a sitting time bomb. If not attended to, it is waiting to explode. So the Second Chance program follows through an unfinished work of schooling, especially for grade 12. So we're making sure that they are indeed supported and they are able to meet those requirements. And we are saying the impact of the reduction in this program is that we'll be able to reach out to fewer of these learners, and it will take a much longer time for us to be able to wipe out completely the young people who are in need. At Science and Technology, Chair, we see the impact here as well, but throughout, it's also about reducing our targets, but reducing also the number of schools that we could be focusing on. During the speech of this year, a year before, the President talked about so on. Agricultural focus schools and schools of skill are some of those schools that we had targeted to support this year and even going forward, which means that fewer learners will benefit from this. And the gains that we've been making, particularly for learners who have been getting 60% and above in math, science and technology, Limpopo province is a case in point. Learners were able to follow engineering, medicine, and even become pilots are these very learners. And therefore, it means that the number will definitely be reduced. There will be an impact on the national, regional, and international participation in our tests. On the 8th of December, the minister, together with the HSRC, we will be launching the report of the results of grade 5 and grade 9 learners in teams. And we are saying that this will definitely lead to a reduction of that. Our apologies, the spelling there is T-I-M-S-S, not T-I-M-M-S. And also the reduction in the participation in Olympiads, national and international Olympiads. We've had learners participating. This, we've been supporting them, as well as teacher development programs. Just to give a picture in terms of, again, the details of the math, science and technology, we're indicating areas there. We also providing the allocation, the reduction, initial numbers, and the impact of schools or beneficiaries, and we show the variance in the extreme right. We're providing details in that respect. HIV and AIDS, the last survey and some research indicated that whereas South Africa was leading in its intervention on HIV and AIDS, including knowledge and awareness, the last research indicated that we had taken our foot off the pedal. We're even overtaken by countries like Botswana, Swaziland, and others, which were actually learning from us. And we are also showing the impact there in terms of HIV and AIDS, barring the fact that we used this grant also to respond to the COVID-19 and in terms of the development of and other areas, right, and get people to be under control. And we also continued indicating sectors in advocacy, whether it be also the of from Fuza Lushaka is another dedicated to support of government, particularly focusing on getting the right in areas of scarce skills, depending on Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Angola and us to give us teachers who are appropriately qualified on scarce skills. We've been using Funza Lushaka to help us with that, because we're thinking of one day some of these teachers who come from the country will go back to their countries. But there is a geometric reduction in terms of the numbers that we'll be able to cover with this scheme, bursary scheme for teachers. And then here we just providing the impact per program, Chair. And as we can see that essentially all programs are affected, and the targeted amount that we can see is 2 billion, which we have reflected there. And I should have also acknowledged the presence of my colleagues from National Treasury. I picked up that they are also part of the meeting. And the impact on the rollover, when we're celebrating the rollover that we recently received from Treasury, the cuts are also going to profoundly affect this rollover, as we can see here as well. And then economic classification, we're also showing the impact, particularly on compensation of employees, goods and services, interest and rent on land, transfers and subsidies, payments for capital assets. We're showing the impact there, and of course, feeding into the 2 billion that we see there, which is amount that we likely to lose. Earmarked funds, one of those areas is workbooks. As we can see, workbooks have come in handy, particularly in provinces that are still struggling to cover 100% of textbooks for every learner. But workbooks are able to cover 100% for every learner up to grade 12, and they stretched to 23,000 schools in the country. During the monitoring of the reopening of schools, the oversight structures of Parliament commended the sector for the availability of workbooks, because we're able to track them and check whether they've been delivered, and they've come in handy there, particularly in instances where learners do not have enough textbooks. So you can see the impact on that. Second chance program, math, science and technology grant, I've covered that. We can see NSNP, learners with profound and intellectual disability grant, and we're listing all of the grants underneath there. Right, and the next one is the program managed, the infrastructure program managed by DBE. And again, I will not go blow by blow, giving a chronological development of the money that we received. And at the end of it all, what becomes available, it's 1.6 billion for ACIDI and the SAFE program that is handled at the level of DBE. And we're excluding emergency supply of water there. And this one simply illustrates the point that, as we can see, the green line on the graph, the peak was when we received the rollover, and then it went up, and then with the cut, you can see it going down. The blue line shows the expenditure and the commitment. Actually, the orange line is the expenditure. As you can see, we are at 454 million expenditure, but commitment, we are at 2.8 billion in terms of commitment. And I must emphasize the point that, as we all know, that it took 4 to 5 months for contractors to go on site to prepare themselves to operate in terms of COVID-19. to meet the COVID-19 requirements, and they've now started to spend. I mean, we're getting invoices and requests for transpayments from implementing agents that are getting transpayment, and the expenditure is now picking up quite fast. And we're saying if we continue in this way, it means that we might be in trouble, because we've allocated all the money to projects that are being implemented. Well, in brief, in terms of ACIDI, we're looking at about 222 projects that we should complete in this financial year, but we're just giving an overall amount, and as indicated there, breaking it down to as indicated below. In terms of SAFE, we're looking at 689 projects for this financial year, which we are targeting to complete over and above all the projects that need to be receiving attention. We are also, just in summary, indicating we have a list of 224 schools that are targeted to be implemented from the 474.9 million rollover that we received, and a list of these schools are also attached, Chair, for your consideration. We also acknowledge, due to rationalization and other developments that are flowing from provinces, assessment of the current status of the facilities and so on, there might be slight changes in the list, but essentially that is what we are looking at. And that schools that refused mobile toilets or portable toilets, there are 40 of them that refused installation. And we've also provided a list which is going to follow, Chair. We're just giving an example of some of those schools, the numbers and the reasons that were given by some of these schools. These are the schools that rejected the portable sanitation. It has put in place to ensure that we use taxpayers' monies effectively, efficiently, and economically. First thing is try everything possible to avoid unauthorized expenditure. In fact, we don't allow that in the department, but we use virtual online platforms to also reduce face-to-face engagement with provinces. Many of our meetings, including the meetings of the minister, are now using virtual platform, which is the one that we use now. Chair, better contract management to impose penalties, particularly on implementing agents. One of our biggest Achilles heels is to get implementing agents to implement projects on time. And the minister is involved every week. We account to the minister. I hold weekly meetings with heads of implementing agents or CEOs, preparing for the ministry meeting, minister and deputy minister, to make sure that we meet our targets, but money is put to good use. But also setting up database for professional services that could be used. And again, as I said, weekly meeting with implementing agents particularly. Well, the summary of our financial performance, I'm almost done, Chair. As we can see that in all the five programs, we have essentially performed well, even though we're operating under COVID-19, all that I want to indicate is that program three in particular shows quite a high expenditure because of transfers. The transfers that we have done, we've done them for the whole year, and that's what we've been doing to our entities and so on. That's why the expenditure is quite very high there. And then we're providing reasons for economic classifications, particularly for program two. Workbooks, we've indicated that the printing for volume two is currently in progress, and we are expecting the expenditure to pick up there. The metric second chance, the face-to-face activities started from the 1st of September, so the expenditure is likely to go up. The same applies to conditional grants. And then in terms of economic classifications, we're giving an update of our performance there, and we can see that transfers to public entities are, as I indicated, other transfers and transfers to public entities are quite high in terms of economic classifications. Examiners and moderators, and I'm happy, Chair, that your opening remarks, you highlighted that we are in an exam season. So this is going to start picking up. The school infrastructure backlog grant also, as I indicated, because of lockdown, setting up sites before resuming activity in earnest was a bit slow, but is now picking up. Earmarked funds, particularly monitoring to provinces, has also begun, but also the second chance program there. Summary of non-performance, although during the first quarter of this financial year, we're still under lockdown. We're just comparing the last year with this year. For some reason or another, there's some advantages that we got also from virtual platforms. If we compare our performance in this quarter and the previous quarter, we seem to have performed much better than the previous quarter, if we compare these two. In the last first quarter, we're at 83%. In this year, we are at 90%, and we're very happy with that, which means that we need to consolidate the gains that we have made in terms of our non-financial performance there. And the reason why we couldn't cover 100% is because of the part-time candidates for grade 12 who are now making us to administer the November-December exam to more than 1 million candidates, which is the first time in the history of our country, which is a combination of those who should have written in May, June, which are now, because during that time we're under lockdown and they couldn't write and we had to move the exams to November, December. So over 1 million candidates are sitting together with full-time candidates. And that is the reason why we couldn't account for this indicator, and we'll be accounting for it end of this academic year. Thank you very much, Chair, for indulging me. I really tried to do it under 30 minutes. Thank you.
And thank you, DG. And you did very well. You still have some time, but that's fine. I think that talks to efficiency. Honorable members, there you are. You heard the minister's input. And the DG, you know how we do it. Let's see who would like to have a first bite and so on and so on. Please. I'm listening, all members.
Matafa.
All Matafa. All members.
Dennis Joseph, Chairman, Chairperson, good morning.
Honorable Joseph. Kaiso. Yes, Honorable Member. Honorable Kaiso. Thank you, Honorable Kaiso. I'm listening, Honorable Members. Hello. Darren, you then check for me as other honorable members come in. Honorable Matafa, please go ahead. And we have got 5 minutes.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning to yourself, Chair, the Minister and the DG and the entire team that is present in the meeting today. Chair, I would start firstly by acknowledging the inputs that were made by the Minister in terms of the restrictive environment that they find themselves due to of sufficient funding. But having said that, Chair, we know that historically the indicator will expenditure. And in the presentation, the DG indicates that the reduction in the school infrastructure grant might also lead to increment of costs, as well as possible fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So this is a concern, Chair, because if we already anticipate that there will be a possible fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we need to be finished as a committee with measures that will be put in place to ensure that this particular situation is mitigated as much as possible. And the second part to that, Chair, is maybe to have a sense from the department in terms of the irregular and wasteful expenditure for the previous financial year, and what is the likely amount for the coming financial year, and if whether were there any investigations in the previous ones as recommended by the AG, how far are the investigations? Are there any individuals that are held to account? Because it is my view, Chair, that if you find yourself with limited financial resources, those that you have in the kitty must be protected as much as possible. The second point, Chair, is on the issue of youth unemployment. There are stats that indicate the number of youth that are affected by the current situation of COVID and our historical challenges of barriers to entry as far as youth employment is concerned. Now we see that the second chance metric program is also being reduced. And for us, it's a bit of a concern. And we would also want to find out if whether will there be a way that we can identify areas that can be reserved for the youth in terms of their participation in the employment market. And still on employment, Chair, I would be interested to know if whether the department is aware of the vacancy rates on the issue of the teachers for specific subjects like math and science in various provinces. And also, how does the moratorium or filling of vacancies affect this particular reality where we are having a high teacher vacancy rate in those particular subjects that are seen as critical going into the future of technology, science, and mathematics. The last one, Chair, is on the issue of the 224 schools that are targeted for rollover. The DG, Chair, indicates that there are 40 schools that have refused mobile toilets. The question there is, on these 224 schools that are targeted for rollover, are the 40 schools that are refusing pit toilets included in the rollover spending that is earmarked going forward? And also, Chair, maybe it's also important to indicate that we find it that the pit toilets are not compliant with the norms and standards. So I think that maybe there should be a thorough engagement with those particular schools that have refused this mobile toilets. And maybe it would be important that the department takes us into their confidence if whether has there been any engagement with these particular schools and what measures are in place so that we avert the deaths that have been experienced with school kids who are falling into these pit latrines, and where accountability is required. Is there any intervention that the department is making with regards to these schools that have refused to accept the mobile toilets? I will pause there, Chair, and thank you very much for the opportunity to engage. And once more, I apologize for not switching my video on. My connection is rather not stable. And then as usual, I normally request that I communicate with my video off. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honorable Matafa. Honorable Joseph, please come in.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the Minister, the DG, and the presentation. also would like to thank our own team working behind the scenes with the content advisors and providing us with information. Chairperson, I would like to say, to start off with saying that there's a few other structures beside this committee that do some work, right from the cabinet and the MINMEC, the technical teams that are behind the scenes, before we get to the figures and information that this committee must deal with, and the Budget Council, National Treasury's role. So that part is important, but that part we don't hear a lot on. We get the information, but what happens behind the scenes, how this department's or how National Treasury gets to these figures and presented it to the departments, I think we need some more information on that, because I'm sure there's debates at that level between the ministries and the MECs on the impact on this budget cuts. Chairperson, I am concerned about the reduced projects as raised by the DG on the infrastructure, water and sanitation. It's very concerned, because that is the basis of us going forward in building a capable state and creating a leadership force that must run this country in time to come. So it is impacting on that. The School of Skills, it was raised, particularly my colleague previously raised it, the Maths and Science. I think we already have schools that do not get the required totals, Maths and that have technical subjects at the schools because of the lower rates in schools that produce the 60% schools Maths and Science results to go into technical schools. So there's already a decline, and with the further cut, it will even impact further and take that opportunities away from that learners, critical learners that we need to play that role in society. Chairperson, the internal part, I support Member Matafa's point or question about the irregular and fruitless wasteful expenditure. The department must tell us what internally are they doing also about that. And then the important part also, the pit latrines. I think that is one of this committee's goals, to eliminate that in this term. So my question is then to the department, how are we going to keep the pace and the progress despite the budget cuts? Remains that the priority, to make sure that the norms and standards in this area is maintained and that human dignity is maintained? So that would be my question, Chairperson. The dropout rate, of course, with the COVID-19 is a concern. It's always a concern generally, but more so now. And then the ECDs, that impact there. So if the department can tell us where the cuts that we have was, that is it their decision, the department's decision to present to us this information where the cut is. In other words, they basically are forced under circumstances because the money is going to SAA. And I think I would like the minister to say, if the minister support us, because we are all in this committee concerned about the money that goes to SA, and that the other ministers must also go public and say that we are concerned that money shifted to SA while the country's future is at stake here, because education and health is critical, and that it's not us as committee members who must only fight for this and try to get a change, but it must also come from the MINMEC teams, Budget Council, and from the ministers itself, where the budget cut is affected. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Joseph. Please don't put the words into the minister's mouth. Eh?
Yes, you, Chair.
Honorable Kaiso, please come in.
Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thank the minister and her team for making a presentation before this committee, and also want to echo the words of the chairperson in wishing the matriculants of 2020 good luck as they started writing their final examinations. and hope they will overcome all the difficulties that you, the department, is experiencing in terms of management of examination papers. You understand that challenge. So, Chair, I think my colleagues have covered me on a number of questions there, especially with regard to the issue of irregular expenditure and issues noted by the Auditor General previously, because I think in the previous encounter with the department, we did raise some of these concerns of, you know, underspending or irregular and fruitless expenditure as being an impediment towards attaining the objectives of the department. Now, I think this challenge is now and then, you know, coming, presenting itself again. let me just take a detour here, go to, whilst we are talking about, you know, underperformance and then or expenditure and fruitless or irregular expenditure, go to one school at Butabolo that I looked, and I want to invite the minister to take a visit to that high school at Butabolo. It's called Horatuto Secondary. I think it was established in around 1998. So that school, it's, you know, it's so dilapidated. When I'm looking at this presentation, I sometimes find that these some of the things which are here don't match that school, because I would not understand how did underperformance, financial performance, and you know, under expenditure would happen whilst looking at that school of Horatuto. It doesn't defeat that explanation, because that school was built in around 1998 and it's still in that status. It's so dilapidated. If perhaps the minister could recall recently, a month ago, that school, one kid was struck by lightning and died instantly. His uniform or uniform was torn into pieces. Because the lightning is an attraction area of lightning in that school. And during the by-election, one happens to be around the area. So that school has been making submission for assistance to upgrade and to revitalize or maintain the school, but it has not reached given any attention by the authorities. And it they have made submission for almost over 10 years without any success. So when I'm listening to that, I'm trying to listen here, I find that it may not be justifiable only to talk about issue of COVID being a blockage towards attaining or completion of some projects, because COVID-19 came only in around March this year. But if we go back to other presentations, that's where I say, but this school was not supposed to be here. So I just wish that the minister take a turn sometime during your program to visit Butabolo schools there. Secondly, I just want to understand, Chair, that what is the current teacher learner ratio at to all quintile school per subject? Because it's very important also to understand that point. So, Chair, I think the rest of the areas my colleagues have covered me. Indeed, I'm covered along those areas. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, honorable members. Is there another honorable member who would like to raise anything before I come in?
Yes, Mlenzana, Chairperson.
Honorable Mlenzana, please come in.
Yes, thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, sorry, my video will disturb my connectivity, if you don't mind.
Perfect.
Chair, let me start by throwing a collation to the minister. I know when you close, you would raise this, but this is just but one of the ministers who is always consistent in being present as the warm body when we have a head department with us as the committee. Chair, let me raise just two things. One is on school security. If I could be schooled, Honorable Minister, where is this actually located? We have now seen, particularly in the Alfred Nzo area, your Alfred Nzo, is it west or east? I'm not sure, but let me just say Alfred Nzo, the Matatiel area to be specific. We see that a person incidents where gender-based violence manifests itself right within the schoolyard, where a boyfriend or whoever would come in, draw out a gun and kill the partner within the premises. The last, though it was not within, was just about 400 meters away from school. Where is the school security located? When talking to the district manager, he was saying to me, those security guards, nothing more. If that could be looked at. Then the second one, I would put it the other way around. I don't want to cry foul on the budget cut, but instead, perhaps follow on what Honorable Kaiso was raising. Minister, understanding or notwithstanding the powers and functions which hold your national, you know, office vis-a-vis the provinces, how do we begin to mitigate the realization of the expenditure? Look, for instance, now, I see honorable members from the DA are crying cats and all, but I, for one, would be saying, I was saying in Parliament, we have added money, particularly to look into school infrastructure built programs. But now, how do we mitigate at this level that we realize that the expenditure is done to the level of zero? I'm raising this, Chairperson, because the minister and I would understand that come February, we would be engaged once more into what is it that we have to give to the department. But if by then you would be able to say, for this particular quarter, at least the department has covered some ground. It's just those two. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mlenzana. Thank you, all members. thank you for the presentation. let me start with this one. One of the areas which sort of frustrates us as members of parliament when we play an oversight function, Minister, especially around education, is to find the ear which can listen to us as we are at those places. I just want you, Minister, just to direct us. We know that you can't be available 24/7. You've got your own thing. But it's very important for us as members of parliament, as we play oversight function, as we receive these things, to be able to deposit a complaint which is being raised, and perhaps sometimes the complaint that we ourselves are seeing, and try to get in immediate response to those things. I think that's very important in terms of our communication. And not just to end that, to be able to say, this is the type of response that we are getting, and that's what the department will be doing. I'm saying this being very much aware that this education is a core competence area, but we are in national parliament, and we think that our contact point should be the national minister or ministry or department of basic education to raise such things. So that's just one thing that I thought I need to raise. Did you speak about on the second chance metric program? There is an adjustment. There is a cut there. Can you share with the committee as to how has this program performed before vis-a-vis the budget? On math, science, and technology, again, I think I would like to know how have you performed before against budget. Perhaps, in fact, I think it's important because it talks to the questions that honorable members have raised. Generally, I think on all the areas that you have highlighted as areas that there has been some adjustment to say what is the historical performance of those areas which has been affected by the budget. That becomes very important because sometimes we while money is a very important component in us trying to deal with these things, but it's not everything. We have seen situations where, even if it may not be that department, where money is not a problem, but the problem becomes the effective use of money. So that's why I'm saying if you could just indicate those areas of performance vis-a-vis the budget. And if you I know we're dealing with the national budget here, but what is also very important, the minister does have a national responsibility. That's why we're not a federation, we're a unitary state. So we do expect some form of coordination at your level. So we'd also like to know what a helicopter view of the performance still around budget, because National Treasurer will come to us and say we have allocated this money, it has not been used, but allocating the money and money being taken to the banks and so on and that is not efficient. In fact, it's costly for the country. So that's why I'm asking this question. The Funza Lushaka program, by and large, DG, you are talking about the teachers, especially for math and science, that you get from other countries. I just want to check, because I know for a fact, there are a lot of retired maths and science teachers who are still very much healthy, who reached their retirement ages and so on. Have you ever looked at the program of trying to get those teachers, the older teachers? As you know, that most of them taught under very, very difficult conditions, yet they were able to get very, very good results with meager resources. So I'm just saying that you are having this Funza Lushaka program, which concentrates on the foreign teachers. But do you have, first and foremost, the database of those science and teachers who have retired? Any possibility of trying to get them to just come for these subjects and so on and so forth? I would like to hear your take on that. Your SIBG, mainly deals with infrastructure problem. I just want to check how was this affected by the lockdown? I'll tell you, because when we deal with other departments, when it comes to infrastructure, you'll find that most of these are the projects which suffered quite a big deal because they couldn't continue with them. So, but I just want to check in particular, how is a lockdown affected by infrastructure related projects and programs? What every department which comes to us complain about the same thing, that there have been budget cuts. But we've argued from our side that these budget cuts are just a temporary thing. They are not sustainable overall. And we have then called on government to say the president has shared with the parliament the economic reconstruction and recovery plan. Broadly, I would like to see what is the department's role? What do you see your role as far as the achievement of the ERP is concerned? What do you see your role to be? Concerned related to that is the question of local procurement. Local procurement. To say, do you have an idea as when it comes to local procurement and buying South African? How much of the things that we are using in our environment to import? I would say the obvious, which you have said before, that everything that we import contributes negatively to GDP and economic growth. Everything that we import is equal to exporting jobs to those countries. Especially, my little knowledge tells me that there are a lot of things where service providers go and import from China and they come and sell to us. And we must know that every rand that we spend there contributes towards negative growth to our economy. It's equal to the exportation of jobs to those countries while you are struggling with the jobs. So the question, the broad question that I'm putting to you, DG, of the budget that we're having, do you have an idea how much of it that we are exporting? I mean, we are importing. Because that doesn't contribute towards ERP if we do that. And then say, what is it that the department can do, especially using their buying power, to make sure that we force local production and therefore force economic growth and therefore force employment creation in the country. The scholar transport. When I still go to the especially the rural areas, I still see a situation where these kids must still cross the rivers and so on, and there's no proper transport. Do we have a plan to take care of this thing once and for all? And I'm saying this being very much aware of the fact that we are a national department, and a lot of this happens in the provinces. Lastly, the private schools. What is the role of our department, if you could just help us, the role of department of basic education when it comes to these private schools? I'll tell you, I come from Pietermaritzburg, and a lot of these private schools, and they do a good job. But one thing which I've seen is that when it comes, for instance, to the national holidays and so on, nothing, June 16 is not being observed there. And it has got a big impact on the type of a kid that we comes out of that environment. They just continue as if it's business as usual. No, our national holidays are not being recognized. What is our role? What can we do? Because from where I'm seated, I think it's wrong. Irrespective of the child, whether she or he is in a private school, he remains South African. And these holidays have got an impact on the type of a child that wants coming out of that institution, a patriotic South African. Because if that doesn't happen, for instance, there is no education thing we should trivialize, for instance, June 16. But what we see is that we have these schools just not observing this. But I'm just saying, DG or minister, what can we do, or what is our role as far as that is concerned? Because I think it is completely unacceptable. Thank you very much, Minister. We're in your hands, and the DG, deal with the question as you please. You'll come back to me once you say you are done. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Chair. We will try to answer. I'll try to answer some questions, maybe the general ones, and ask UDG to respond to others. And we respectfully request that questions which were not part of the purpose of the meeting, which would not have prepared for, that we be allowed to bring answers for, because there would have been questions like asking your vacancy rate in provinces, because as we sit here, other senior managers are with the Portfolio Committee on Education. For instance, the DDG responsible for teachers and human resources is there. So if the DG doesn't have the information now, because it's not, I would assume that we will not have prepared for everything that was not part of the papers. So, but Chair, to say we are willing to come back and answer specific questions. We can also, you know, some of the questions around the AG's comments, and again, we're willing to come and answer every question, but we can answer that others generally. But I'm sure it will be correct to answer specifically to say this is what the AG has said one by one, and prepare for them to say this is where the frivolous expenditure. But in some instances, I think, as you will know, as a committee, what will be raised as the AG on fruitless expenditure, it's not necessarily that money got lost. And I think you know that as a committee. It could be that we had not even received the certificates from our service providers and quite a number of things, but we can account for that and come for it. So I want to say, in terms of vacancy rates, DG will answer if he wants to, if he's able to. And also, what I want to clarify, Chair, is about the schools.
Honorable Minister, sorry to interrupt you, if I may.
Yeah.
No. I think the comment you have just made, it's well taken. And in fact, you don't even need to come back. The questions that you think can't be answered today, we are happy to have them written back to us so that we can at your opportune moment, and then you send them back to us.
Oh no, thank you, Chair. We'll do it immediately within a week. I just wanted to clarify the question about schools that rejected the mobile toilets. You see, during COVID, we definitely would not have been able to do to remove all the mud structures, because the plan rolls out up to 2022. So what we decided, that rather than leave schools with those mud structures, let's provide your mobile toilets, which is your plastic toilets. Some schools said, no, we'd rather dislodge our pit latrines, clean them, make them safer, rather than use plastic toilets. That's the group. But they remain in the list of schools that are supposed to have to be provided with. So the only difference was that they didn't want plastic toilets. They said, we'd rather dislodge and clean. We don't want a plastic toilets in our space. And indeed, they dislodged, they cleaned the pit latrines that were there, used them until such time that we give them proper toilets. It could be the trust deficits, because they thought, they will think that now that we've given them toilets, we're not going to come back. Just to make sure that they're safe on the list, they said, no, we're not going to have plastic toilets. So that's the story about the 40 schools that rejected the mobile toilets, but they still remain on the list. And around schools that about maths performance, just also to respectfully remind members, because you also raised the question. Our assessment of the performance on maths and science, unfortunately, we are judged on grade 12. And our evaluation was that our problems are in lower grades. That by the time children reach grade 10, having not acquired the basic skills, by grade 11, 12, the horse has bolted. There's very little we can do. So we put lots of resources, attention, where the problem is. The problem is in your intermediate phase when they're in grade 4, 5, and even worse still when they are in grade 9 before they go to grade 10. So if we want better inputs, we've decided that we're going to put more resources at those levels. I can assure you, Chair, and I think we can speak to that, but you will see when we announce our team's report that there is movement beginning to happen from the bottom, which is where we needed to shake. We've provided lots of resources, and there are schools which would not have, we're not offering maths and science at high school. We've attended to those. So once the needle at grade 12 moves slowly, we've discovered that it doesn't help to try and put any energy there, because it's quite late. You would have done, I know you've done maths at high school. If you can do basic multiplication, traction divisions, there is nothing you can do at a later rate because you are still required to have those basic skills, which we discovered as a problem, but DG will also explain. The other thing I want to explain to around infrastructure, which is a big problem for us as a sector, and that we admit. And I'm not running away from responsibility. As national, we just don't deal, technically, we don't deal with infrastructure. We've always been a bank for provinces. We're given a ring fence monies, we send them to provinces. There are only two programs we account for. It's your SAFE project, because it was a special project where we were given money after a child had drowned in a pit latrine. So the president said, here's limited money for your mud toilet, for your pit latrine. So that's the only project we can account for. The other project that we account for is ASIVI, which is your accelerated school infrastructure program, which deals with mud schools. Any other school which is not mud school, it's a provincial competency. And which you write, it's a problem. Because MPs come to us to say, here's a school, it doesn't have, all the budgets go to provinces, Chair. And as soon as the money is appropriated at the province, then the province accounts for its prioritization and also for its implementation. For instance, for the member who really raised the school in Thabang, all I can do is to say to the MEC of the Free State, MEC, there's this school, there are these problems, please attend to it because it is a provincial competency. I always get lists of challenges and problems from provinces, from MPs in particular, but also from the public. And all I can do, the most I can do, is to phone the MEC to say, MEC, the chairperson of SCOPA has given me this, please attend to it. And that's as far as I can go, because the money is with the MEC. It has been prioritized at that level. I was saying to my colleagues this week that we are doing school readiness. I said it's good for us to count how many books have been delivered and have not been delivered, how many desks, how many teachers are there in place. I know MPs complain that they can't go to schools anymore unless I respond to all the queries they've given me, because schools are beginning to chase them to say, we tell you our problems, you come back and ask us the same problems. I have piles of queries that have been brought to my attention. And unfortunately, Chair, because of the concurrency, the budgets are in the province, the responsibility is in the province, and there is no, even if I could want to go there, I don't have the budget to go there. If I want to go to the Tabanchu school, there is nothing I can do in the Tabanchu school because I don't have the budget to intervene in schools which are not mud structures, and I don't have the budget to intervene in schools which don't have mud, which have no toilet. So I thought I should raise that. But I acknowledge it as an ongoing problem, and we continue to engage with colleagues in the provinces to say, do something about infrastructure. But I want to accept that it is a problem. To an extent that sometimes I even have to mobilize private sectors. I run to Womutip and others to say, I've got this query. It's not in my budget. Please go and close this gap for me. And that's what we normally do. We go to the mining houses to say, there's this problem. It's untenable. This school is number 50 in the province. They're not going to reach it in the next 2 years. Can you please assist? But which is also not a very sustainable way of dealing with things. But the long and short is that there's very little we can do about that. DG will tell you about dropout rates because we've been managing. And on the question of Mr. Joseph, I think I already thank your intervention, Chair. I'm the member of cabinet, and Westfield, I'm a member of the Mincom Board. If it's a cabinet decision, it means it's my decision now to come and with DA, come up talk about SAA. I just don't think it's not fair. It's not even in the purpose, SAA. So I think with your permission, don't even expect a written answer because Mr. Joseph, that decision, which means it's my decision, Minankan. So I can't answer DA's question. So I've answered the question about I've taken the number of Koratudo. I'll speak to MEC Tate that it arose in a meeting. And if there's a feedback, I'll come back to yourselves. The school security, not to say Balega Lent, and Chenfun, which respectfully, you know, when I was MEC, I had 3 times the capacity of the capacity I have as the minister. As a minister, I have 1 office. as the MEC, I had 12 and head office, I'm as an MEC, was bigger than my office, even as a minister. Because the work, the implementation is at the provincial level. That's where the tire hits the ground. So what we do, Tina, we do policy, we do norms and standards, we support, we monitor, we collect reports for you. But in terms of the school security, for instance, it's a provincial competency because it's anything that has to do with implementation today. So if Emma was to ask me what is the policy around school safety, I'll tell you. But if you ask me about implementation, it's either the Bati. You see, I'm going to tell Mabaribari, a province in Bati. Because mine is, as I say, limited to policy, to monitoring and support. An evaluation. I'm from spending as long as but I think it would be wrong not to even to respond to the chair. I have to really respect the chair and say about the second chance matric program. It's a free program. It's a new program that I'm very passionate about, chair. And I must tell you, I think it's about 3 years old. The first years we identified challenges where lots of young people who dropped out of school will be very enthusiastic about coming to write. They will register in their thousands. When exam times come, then they chicken out and run away. Then we decided to say, no, let's give them more support. But it's actually government giving a free damelin to people who don't have matric who wants to get that second chance. But we've been very lucky that other departments have piggybacked to say, once we give them matric, for instance, in the Free State, we'll give them skills, we'll give them the following, just in terms of responding to unengaged young people. It's a very interesting project. It's not an easy program, but really it's to give young people the second chance. Unfortunately, in some instances, it became a matric rewrite program where learners who have not passed very well came to improve. Those did well. And some of the learners also who, when we were doing this process of writing your matric half and then the other year came forward, those did well. Whereas our target was the young people who dropped out of school who really wanted to get a second chance, give them skills which will put them back into the market. It's a growing program, and unfortunately, because of the difficulties, it's one project we had to target. When Treasury said we want 10%, we said Tata Lab because as I say, it's a growing program, important as it is, but DG will speak about it. I spoke about teachers, the chair raised about teachers who are retired and other people. Chair, we will also give you, and I think because we have the information, maybe DG has it with him. We are even beginning to be saturated as a sector. With the Funza Lushaka, we have produced so many new young scientists in the sector. Even more, there are kids who were not even part of Funza Lushaka, were part of other programs. Some of the kids who say, no, I want to go and teach and help my country for 2 years, I want to leave, I will teach South Africa. We have come forward to the sector. We now are sitting with unemployed young graduates with math and science. The problem where we still have foreign teachers in the senior deep rural areas, where even your retired teachers will not really want to relocate from their places if they were staying in Durban or Johannesburg and then be told to go into the deep rural Bulawayo, which just would not work for them. So those deep rural areas, that's where unfortunately we still find that foreign learners or foreign teachers and maybe young teachers are still willing to go, but that's where we have a problem. They're not willing to go everywhere. And then DG will tell you about local procurement. I don't want to get there. It's called a transport. I did say it's a very sad situation because I'm aware of that. We've even gone to Treasury to say every year we get reports of the budgets of provinces that we have 5 billion or 5 million. We're supposed to be transporting so many numbers. Half of the numbers we do not be able to fit because we don't have the budget. It's very common, for instance, in the Eastern Cape, in KZN and Limpopo, where you find the provincial scholar transport budgets don't match up the needs that they have in provinces. So we've made an effort with Treasury to cost what it would mean for Treasury to ring fence like they do with school nutrition. Maybe DG will tell you how far we are, but we have tried to address it and we are aware of that problem around scholar transport. Yeah, and private schools, you have Chair, you have the same. They're not, for instance, Sulisuf will even complain that why Singazivani also wants us to close private exams to bring equity. And then I would say to the Sufi, private schools by constitution are allowed to be there. We interact with them very well. We work with them on a number of programs, but we know as a country what challenges we have just in terms of integration. And so it's an ongoing battle that we have, but we really have solved, I think, diplomacy with them, because we work very well, extremely very well with them on other programs, I must say, Chair. They support our schools, they twin, they do the following, we share resources, we share expertise. And I know some people find it as a very pacifist approach when I say 96% of South African children are in public schools. If we can fix public schools, we would have fixed the problems in the country. But you are quite right that one child's loss is one child too many. But I always say to officials when they raise it, and even MECs, don't take my energy to 4%. Let me spend all the energy I have in the 96% of public schools, because if we can get things right there, everybody will fall in line. But I agree with you that it is a fault line, and we should continue to engage private schools without really reneging on our responsibilities of making sure that indeed we meet the... So, Chair, I thought I should... And then DG will answer the difficult ones. Thank you very much for the opportunity. DG, the chair said he'll only come back when we say we're done. DG, Pendule and your colleagues.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister. Minister, we do have in the meeting Mr. van der Westhuizen, who's the head of infrastructure. We've got the acting CFO, Mayor Nteta Molelekwa, she's also part of the meeting. If the chair permits, they could assist me with some of the information that is available immediately. And thank you, Minister, for having covered quite a number of questions. Let me start with questions or comments raised by Honorable Mataf. Material misstatements, irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Indeed, these are findings of the Auditor General in the last 3 years. And all of these findings are attributable to unreliable information that we get from implementing agents. We use 10 implementing agents to roll out projects in the department and in the 9 provinces. And how material misstatements happens is that the information that is provided to us on a monthly basis, when compared to the information that the AG would get when the AG would go and audit some of the information in the implementing agents, you would find that the information does not tally, and it leads to material misstatements. We have stopped using some of the implementing agents such as IDT because of that. We stopped using KUHA, and all of them are entities of government, unfortunately. We've also stopped even using Public Works, both at provincial and national level, because of these findings. And we were warned by the Basic Education Portfolio Committee that if we go by taking such consequence management measures, at the end of it all, we'll have no implementing agents that we'll use for the delivery of our projects. We've met with their CEOs, their heads, and we've raised these issues with them. We've written to them. Eventually, we decided to cut ties with some of them. Because if we continue this way, it means particularly irregular expenditure is going to continue to grow. And Honorable Chair, as the Minister also emphasized, irregular expenditure is occasioned in the main by ignorance of treasury instructions. Some of these implementing agents were of the view that treasury instructions do not actually apply to them. But we said to them, if you use money from our vote, you are our extension, and we are obliged to adhere to the PFMA, you know, word by word. There's no way that we are exonerated from any treasury instruction. And therefore, we expect you to implement treasury instructions. So indeed, that has been caused by that. But what I can say, Chair, is that from the audit findings, out of the five findings that we had in the past 2 years, we've at least been able to reduce them to two in the last financial year. We still have irregular and contingent liability. And all of those, both of them, relate to implementing agents. It's nothing in the department, but it's from implementing agent DBSA, Mvula Trust, and others. They contribute to these findings. Now, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, to give one example, is that the reason why we've put it in this presentation is that now that professional work has been done to a number of projects that you are supposed to deliver, if we don't get money, we are going to force to stop them because we can't just continue with them if there's no money. But the money spent on professional fees, the Auditor General is going to classify it as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Even if we say we've not completely lost, when money becomes available, we'll implement those projects. They'll say, no, those projects were part of your plan of a project that should have been implemented. If you have not implemented them, the money spent on professional fees is now classified as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. I thought I must just give that explanation. The report of the Auditor General for 2019-2020 indicates that we've done investigations on all irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure of the previous years for the first time. And we've carried out consequence management. That's the report of the AG, not us. That's what it says, which was presented to the portfolio committee simultaneously with the fiscal and finance commission presentation. So it says we've investigated and we've meted out consequence management in all respect. Youth employment, I'm sure the minister was just rushing through responding to many questions. There is what we call basic education employment initiative, BEEI, where Treasury has made available 7 billion rands to employ 300,000 young people into basic education on a fixed term contract though of about 4 months. We've put out adverts. We are at an advanced stage of giving employment opportunities, Chair, at least to 300,000 young people in this country. That's the contribution that we are making. And thank you very much to Treasury and the stimulus package that the president announced of the 500 billion rands. So we're benefiting 7 billion out of the 500 billion, which was announced by the president. The vacancy rate for math, science, and technology posts, unfortunately, we don't have that information. We can look for it. But my own recollection is that meeting with provinces every year is no longer a problem. Vacancy rate around math, science, and technology. Chair, my profuse apologies. When I talked about Funza Lushaka, it was not about recruiting foreign teachers. It was preparing South Africans to take posts that historically have been taken by foreign nationals from the countries that I have mentioned. And as the minister correctly pointed out, we can even give you figures of the graduates that we've been producing every year from Funza Lushaka as part of replacing the foreign nationals that we've been using, particularly in your scarce skill subject. Honorable Matafa, the 40 schools that rejected the portable toilets do not form the part of the 224, which are for the rollover. We were going to use it particularly for sanitation and to deal with inappropriate structures. So the 40 are not necessarily part of this because we're using that for sanitation. The minister indicated the engagement that we've had with some of the schools that rejected the portable toilets. In some instances, it was surprising, particularly in Limpopo, when the officials engaged with some of the schools, they relented and accepted the portable toilets which were provided to them. Some, when the money was made available to school governing bodies were able to procure the portable toilets. So it depends on the approach or the modality that you are taking. Honorable Joseph, the minister has in a way I think responded to the questions that you have raised. Indeed. When we talk about structural problems in our economy, it includes education. And part of our problem with education is that historically, over 90% of our schools have been academic pathway inclined. In other words, offering subjects that are only academically inclined, not addressing skills, not addressing technology and so on. And with these schools of skills, as you correctly pointed out, they would increase the output that technical high schools are giving to us. Economies that are doing well in the world, the split between academic and vocational is between 30% academic to 70% vocational, or 40 to 60% in all countries whose economies are doing well. And we are trying to go in that direction. And our view is that if we continue and channel our resources in that direction, that will help us a great deal. It will help us to meet the norms and standards for infrastructure, as you correctly pointed out. Dropout rate is between 10 and 15%. Even during lockdown, it has not radically departed from that. The estimates are still around that, but we also know that there are parents who just kept their children at home, and hopefully they will release them next year. Now that they have seen that, learners didn't get adversely affected by COVID-19 and didn't even die. The majority of the people who died, in fact, are adults. In fact, there are very few learners, if any, and there are medical reasons for that, comorbidities and so on, but in the main, and those learners, we had advised that they must be kept at home, those with comorbidities or pre-medical condition. Well, and then Honorable Daiso, irregular expenditure, I explained the irregular expenditure. Unfortunately, I was in the Free State in Tabanchu and Botshabelo on the 27th of October. But unfortunately, if I had the name of the school, I would have made a turn. The schools that I visited is Moroka Secondary School, Albert Moroka Secondary School, Mpatleng, Lifikeng, Temuseng, Liratong, Linyora Latuto. But unfortunately, I didn't touch the school. As the minister said, we'll follow through with the province to deal with the issues that you have raised. The learner-teacher ratio per subject, we don't work out learner-teacher ratio per subject. We just work out learner-teacher ratio. Learner-teacher ratio nationally is 1:33, but it depends because it varies from one province to the other. The other provinces have got more favorable learner-teacher ratio. The others have got a much bigger learner-teacher ratio. Provinces like Gauteng, because they are densely populated, they've got a very high learner-teacher ratio, and some provinces that are sparsely populated, they've got a fairly favorable learner-teacher ratio, given their contextual and varied dynamics, as I've just attempted to explain some of them. Honorable Mlenzana, Minister, responded to the issue of gender-based violence. We are addressing it. We've got a framework. We are part of the strategy that is driven from the presidency as well. Schools are part of that. And the last point that you raised was the expenditure. I must concede that when it comes to the SAFE program, which is part of ACIDI, for the 2019-2020 financial year, the expenditure was extremely low. There I want to concede, Chair, and that's part of the history that you requested for, was extremely low because we took some time before we got implementing agents appointed for the SAFE program, which contributed to the low expenditure. But I have shared with you figures of the current financial year, which are quite high. And we've got an agreement with the implementing agents, in turn with contractors, to use the builder's break to work during the builder's break. And that is going to push the expenditure even higher. Honorable Chair, Minister, I think Minister responded to some of the questions that you raised. The Second Chance Matric Program has a dual purpose. One is to increase the participation rate of young people who have not met the requirement of grade 12. The second purpose is to increase the number of those who meet the requirement, who pass and pass very well and meet the requirements, and they are able to go to university or pursue other pathways in life of their studies. So the data that we have, coincidentally, this program is presented at the Portfolio Committee for Basic Education as we speak now. We could also give you figures to see how we have been able to increase the numbers of the participation and the success rate. And then the same applies to math, science, and technology. Historically, the numbers in those learners doing math, science, and technology have steadily picked up. Even the performance had also picked up. I've referred to learners who are getting 60% and above, particularly from previously disadvantaged communities. Those numbers had increased. To increase also the intake at university level. We've got those figures that we can provide. Funza Lushaka also, we can provide the statistics, how many have we been taking, and what is the graduation rate per annum and so on, and to look at how the reduction of the targets is now going to impact on the intake into the Funza Lushaka program. The SIBG, indeed, as I indicated in the presentation, 3 to 4 months of a lull had an impact. And that's why you see the practical completion of projects, the expenditure pattern is beginning to pick up, because before then, we had almost 4 months of no activity in infrastructure. We're also adversely affected here in the school infrastructure backlog grant because of the lockdown. Our role in terms of local procurement, if you don't go local procurement, well, from the instructions that we get from National Treasury, including the Department of Trade and Industry, that is easily declared as a regular expenditure. It's part of our policies and our regulations. If you don't procure locally, that is also declared as irregular expenditure. We had such instance many years ago where iron was procured from outside. It was declared irregular expenditure as well. So we don't allow it completely. We tell implementing agents, you don't procure anything outside because it's going to increase our irregular expenditure. So we're very clear, we're buying South African, we're buying local, everything. That's why even masks, we started buying more and more masks locally. Education contributed to that because we said we've got 12 million learners. If you multiply 12 million with about 2 masks per learner, it's quite a lot. That's going to create jobs. That's going to reignite factories, and factories in Cape Town and Durban started, being active because we localized the production of masks. When before that, masks were imported from outside South Africa. The learner transport, we do have a plan, Chair, and the plan will show the demand and supply. And there is a slide that we presented also to, we will provide those figures that indicate the demand and supply. We are now over 80% in terms of the demand that we are able to meet, but we have 20% of those that we are unable to fully provide for their needs as required. And those figures we can provide as well. We do have a responsibility over, we are the authority over all schools, including private schools. We do meet with them regularly. The minister meets with private schools regularly, and the issues that you have raised, we'll take them up with them. We are not aware that they don't recognize, let alone to observe public holidays. They've got to observe them. They've got to recognize them. And the minister, I think, will also raise these issues with them when we meet with them. The minister has got scheduled regular meetings with them. Moratorium in the filling of math, science, and technology posts. Well, we did experience that, especially your school management team level, your HODs, and so on. It impacts our performance in the improvement of quality. I've indicated that the minister, together with the HSRC, will be launching the results of TIMSS, the test which was written in 2019. You'll see from those results that in some areas we have improved, in others we have not. And part of the reason why is because of the vacant posts that are not filled, where you don't have leadership and oversight and quality assurance at school level. I think, Minister, I've really tried to cover as much as I could. If there's anything, the head of infrastructure is part of the meeting. The acting chief financial officer is also part of the meeting. In terms of the targets of infrastructure, they are also in slide number 5. We've detailed those targets and with the subsequent slides that are following for other areas that are experiencing cuts, including math, science, and technology. Thank you, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members, and Honorable Minister. Thank you.
Mr. Van der Weysen, so Chair, I'm not sure if we should still call them in, but let me just check with them if the CFO and Mr. Van der Weysen in 2 minutes want to add something on what the DG has raised. Let's start with you, Ntsese. Is there anything we've left out which you want to add?
Thank you, Minister and Honorable Members. No, Minister, there's nothing to add. DG covered everything. Thank you.
Mr. Van der Westhuizen, is there anything you want to add so that you can hand over back to the Chair?
Thank you. Thank you, Minister, and greetings to all the Honorable Members. I think between you and the DG, you did a good job and you responded to all the questions. Thank you.
Okay. And DG, you are making an undertaking to say some of the questions where we had not prepared detailed questions, we will send them in writing within a week. So thank you very much, and back to you, Chair.
Minister, DG and Team DBE, thank you so much. I think the responses were quite comprehensive, and we will await the responses on the things that you couldn't deal with. Before we let you go, Minister and your team, I just want to comment on one or two things, especially about what sometimes the AG will call irregular or wasteful and so on. And the DG was at pains here to try and say how do those things come up. I just want to make the statement that Minister and DG, surely you empathize with us. We can't from the committee's side start understanding or judging opinions made by the AG. That's definitely out of us. We rely on what they say. But as you know, that I think that should be the process. I think there is a need of the department, the AG, a national treasurer, to sit down and talk about these things, so that even the AG, when it deals with when they are busy with auditing, it shouldn't be a mechanical process. In fact, I think in my previous lives, that's what we'll do. You know, when the management letter will always come from the auditors, be they AG or whoever is auditing. Once that management letter comes out, there is an interaction that a tense one that you must engage with the AG. Remember again that the AG is not as conversant as you are with your environment. So sometimes some of these things where you avoid a mechanical approach becomes very important, that there should be that understanding, so that in future they're able to deal with, because we as people who interact with the reports and annual financial statements, we rely on what the auditors are saying. So my recommendation at DG is that exercise, even before they start auditing you, I think you definitely need to engage with the AG and National Treasurer and yourselves, and try to find some commonality. Last but not least, Minister, I don't think we'll be seeing you until after the results. You see, sometimes it becomes very unfair as South Africans, including ourselves, that when something good we don't interact to say, please come and share with us the good results. For instance, we know that the Department of Basic Education has been improving all along, and in the previous year, we were able to break the 80% benchmark, and we know that this year there have been some challenges, but we would definitely say to the department, please continue on that trajectory. As appropriation, we would like to support the department. We are very much aware that a house which is not built on proper foundation will never be able to withstand storms. So therefore, that's why it's important that the foundation that you put in our children, it should be firm. As we are talking about mathematics, definitely to start trying to deal even with mathematics at high school, when your foundation from primary it's weak, it's not sustainable. So what I wanted to say is that my mother was a primary school teacher, and I never understood how they deal with these about to be that. I never understood, because I think I would die the first day if I were to go and be asked to teach grade one. But it's all those things that perhaps we take for granted from our side. So that's why we said on our behalf, please convey our appreciation as Parliament through this committee of the difficult conditions under which you operate. So let's not hold you. I think the kids out there, they need you more than we are. But thank you very much. Just to echo what Honorable Mlenzana was saying, Minister, that please don't tire to meet us if we request, and we are available, and that's what you have done. Please do make an opportunity, because after this interaction, we become wiser. But thank you very much, and all of the best to the department.
No, Chengbonga kakhulu, thanks for the opportunity, and also thanks for the engagement. I'm really grateful. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Chair.
Thank you. You are excused, but if you want to still stay with us, in fact, I'm a paper chunch about that, and then
that's
the problem.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Minister. All members, we do have an agenda which we must still proceed with. We're now on agenda item number 5. Can I refer the honourable members to the minutes of the 17th of November 2020? Can we go to those minutes, honourable members? I'm just accessing them from my side. Yes, honourable members, the minutes of the 17th of November 2020, they were sent to us. Do I have a mover for the adoption of the minutes?
I move, Chairperson, Dennis Joseph.
Honourable Dennis Joseph is moving for the adoption of the minutes of the 17th of November 2020 as the true reflection of that meeting. Any seconder? Honourable members, do I have any seconder for Honourable Davis, Dennis Joseph?
Honourable Matafa, I second, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Matafa. The minutes adopted. Do we have the minutes, a mover for the minutes of the 18th of November 2020? Move of the minutes of the 18th of November, the minutes have been with us. Is there anything untoward which you got?
Honourable Matafa, can I please move for the adoption of the minutes, Chairperson?
Honourable Matafa is moving for the adoption of the minutes. Seconder?
Second, Chair.
Honourable Kaiso seconds for the adoption of the minutes of the 18th of November 2020 as the true reflection of the meeting of that day. Thank you, Honourable Members. Those were the two sets of minutes that we needed to consider. Darren, do you have any announcements and correspondence from your side?
Chairperson, nothing from my side. Only members must remember that we've got another meeting at 2.
Who are we meeting again?
Transport, Department of Transport.
Thank you so much. All members, don't forget, we were given permission not to attend the plenary this afternoon. Thank you. Honourable members, this brings us to the end of this meeting, and thank you very much for your attendance and your engagement. Thank you so much. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. See you later.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair.
Yeah,
thank you, Chair.
Thank you.